This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty then. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Jamie Allman, really super happy to be with you. Happy Black Friday to all of you. And, of course, I'm very disappointed. As I said earlier, I have not seen any trampling videos. I'm not one. Like, unless somebody can find something and send it to me, I don't understand why I haven't seen anybody desperately trampling each other for a flat-screen television. I think it's because everybody's so happy, or they ordered it on Amazon, or whatever it happens to be. I'm all good. I did see a video while I was trolling the internet about with a person who was at the, this is in the U.S., and she was at the checkout counter at the grocery store, and so she goes up with a bunch of bananas and then peels the bananas and has the guy weigh them without the peel. I'm thinking, well, that's gamesmanship right there. That seems like that's pretty. I think you could probably do that, but then you'd have to do that with a cantaloupe and a watermelon and all this stuff. I'm not quite sure you'd want to do that, but she's on the right path, I think, sometimes in terms of just trying to save money. And of course, the video didn't work out well, and it turned out crazy. But I'm surprised that people, you know, even in that position, are not so desperate as to also go to a Walmart and trample somebody over a Christmas potpourri of Tupperware. I just don't understand it. Anyway, I got to tell you, Joni Ernst, this is 2014, people. This is 10 years ago, before we were awakened to common sense. We were thinking about people like, well, obviously Obama was president, but we were thinking about, you know, McCain and Romney and Jeb Bush and all these conservative betrayers who had no interest in actually being really conservatives. They were lazy also on top of that. But I have to tell you, though, I'm surprised Joni Ernst isn't playing more of a role in the Trump administration. I'm not quite sure what that's all about or what it is. But when you listen to her ad, she ran for Senate in 2014, elected to the Senate. But when you see and hear this ad from her in 2014, you're thinking, wow, she was almost Trump before Trump was Trump. She was almost Sarah Palin before Sarah Palin was Sarah Palin, although after Sarah Palin. But she was also more like Elon Musk before Elon Musk or Vivek were part of the Get Along Doji movement. And so this is her ad. And I'm in retrospect, I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. You
know? I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. So when I get to Washington, I'll know how to cut pork.
I mean, that's incredible, because it's like nowadays, of course, all the woke, crazy, pearl-clutching media would be like, she's threatening to castrate politicians. It's like, not really, but you get the idea. And I'm surprised. I mean, she could have been. I love J.D. Vance, though, by the way. I would never want a replacement for him. I thought it was amazing. But she actually could have been another great VP candidate. And she might even be the future of the party. Now, keep in mind, I know people are like, Ron DeSantis is going to run in 2020. It's like, no. If Trump's administration is successful and he does all the things that he wants to do, even like 75% of them, because obviously you have the problem of having to get it through the Senate, the House, whatever, I get it. But the reality is, if he did half of what he wants to do, I think it'd be successful. And so DeSantis coming in and going, I'm going to run against J.D. Vance, like, no, probably not going to happen, you guys. I would wait until, you know, 2032. I would do that. But Joni Ernst has an absolute future in common sense conservative politics. She was great. And this was 10 years
ago. Joni Ernst and I approve this message because Washington's full of big spenders. Let's make them squeal.
I mean, that's now what Get Along Little Doji's doing. That was 10 years ago. So I'm very impressed with her. And so she went out on X and talked about how she was going to be able to basically cut $2 trillion of D.C. waste in a 22-level post. So it was post one. We can eliminate more than $2 trillion in waste in Washington in 22 easy steps. So here we go. Ghost workers were spending $157 billion a year on underutilized buildings, which many are vacant. Yeah, because no one's coming back to work. I think Vivek and Elon are saying, yeah, you guys are coming back to work, all right. And if you don't, we're going to fire you. You're going to use these offices. And the Biden billion-dollar boondoggles, which was this effort to spend $7.5 billion to build 17 EV charging stations. Now, if you have a electric car, all power to you, all good. I know some of you, I know some conservative people who have the Elon Musk car and the Tesla, and it's awesome. I think you guys sometimes drive a little slow, and then you speed up. It's like, it's weird. It's like, push the gas. It's all good. You drive slow, and then you push the gas. I don't understand why you do that. It's all good. I know it's hoppy. I know the Tesla is great. It's skippy. It's, you know, badass when you push the gas, but it's like, why do you not push the gas while you're driving most of the time? I don't understand that. But I'm not going to pay for your EV charging stations any more than you should be paying for my tank of gas. So I'm not doing that, and I don't like that, and whatever. The EV charging stations thing. Then she points out that something that I didn't even know before she posted all of this, that when you look at how much we pay for instance, you know, how much does it cost to make a penny? How much does it cost to make a nickel? It costs the government 3 cents to make a penny. And it costs the government 11 cents to make a nickel. And you're thinking, wow, that doesn't sound right. Like, no other business could survive that way, where you are virtually spending more on your product than you are essentially selling it for. You'd never be able to sustain a business with that kind of business model. And so she's, you know, UN overpayments and China mad scientists, all that kind of stuff. But the one that really stood out to me was that element where we're paying so much money to make our currency. And I don't know how anybody in the business world, and a lot of you know about this, how anybody in the business world could possibly defend spending more to produce a product than they are charging money for. So you can't do that. So yeah, 3 cents to produce a penny, 11 cents to make a nickel. So there's no way you could possibly defend it. So her supposition here is that what we do is we would just simply change the makeup of our pennies and nickels. There are not many of you out there going, I like my nickels heavy. I like my nickels the way. It's like, no. I mean, change the composition of the pennies and the nickels. I'd like to get rid of pennies altogether, but you can't really do that. But nonetheless, it's like at some point, you know, but she has 22 of these. So if there's anybody who will be a valuable person in the administration, it's got to be the badass Joni Ernst. I'll tell you, she's great, and I love her fact enemas that she's giving to everybody on the internet. I love that as well. All right, New York Times. Yeah, you know, they figured out a new way to describe women. And this will knock your socks off and drive you crazy. Coming up on The Jesse Kelly Show, this is Jamie Allman filling in.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Thank you for listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here. And actually, you know, in hindsight, with the ZZ Top guys, I would think the only thing that would be better is if Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, like, grew these big, long beards. Maybe not the David Letterman type of beards, like the homeless David Letterman beard. But, like, if they just grew these, like, long beards, because that's a thing, you know. Maybe tatted up a little bit and did that kind of thing. I think that would be very interesting for the inauguration. That'd be great. Because right now, we are on a tear as common sense conservatives. We don't even have people crushing each other over laughing Elmos. I know that's like 10 years ago, but that's okay. I don't know anything about, like, my kids are grown a little bit to a certain degree. I just order stuff from Amazon. I know Jeff Bezos. I get it. But I love Amazon. So, yeah, that would be great if they, like, if Trump was, I don't know, that would never happen. I mean, he's too proper. So, like, remember when he did the sanitation vest thing? And so even when he wore the sanitation vest, he was like, I'm going to wear the sanitation vest, but I'm going to still have my tie on. Because you don't see, unless you're on the golf course or whatever, you don't see Donald Trump without a tie, generally. Like, he'll always wear a tie. Even when he's wearing the sanitation vest, and even when he's, like, saying, I don't know, where's my coat? They're like, I wouldn't wear the coat. And it's, like, probably Barron telling him that. I wouldn't wear the coat. I would just go ahead and do what you're doing and be real as Donald Trump can get. And Donald Trump is real as it gets. And so when he was wearing his vest with his tie on, it was so classic. But I think ultimately it would be great if maybe just one of them, maybe J.D. Vance ought to have his, like, beard really long and show up in a, you know, in a leather vest or something and a Harley vest or something. I don't know. I'm just riffing. We don't really need that. And I will tell you, though, what's happening right now is that we're seeing the bomb threat off. You heard about that? So all these Republicans were getting bomb threats. And then over the weekend, over the Thanksgiving holiday, you had the Democrats saying, we're getting bomb threats too, you know. Like, oh, really? Yeah. They're signed with MAGA. It's like, yeah, right. And I don't even know where these other bomb threats are coming from. Remember the whole thing with sending white powder to people and during it's all, like, set up. Who knows what's going on? But now Hakeem Jeffries is claiming that, well, we were getting bomb threats too, you know, and they're signed by MAGA. Like, really? Like, why would we want to bomb you when we bombed you basically figuratively on November 5th? Like, we don't need to bomb Hakeem Jeffries or anything like that. I would never advocate any kind of violence in any way, shape, or form. But, like, we really don't need to do that right now. Now, we beat you. We humiliated you as common sense conservatives and as an enlightened America. We don't need to, like, threaten Hakeem Jeffries. Most people don't even know who he is. So it's, we're getting bothered, and they're signed by MAGA. It's like, of course they are. So, yeah. This is the latest news from Politico, of course. And Politico is one of those news organizations that they claim they're just, well, we're just political. We're just, you know, and even like Axios, we're just a bunch of non-biased journalists. And Politico is like the worst because they are representing themselves as just like normal, average, everyday journalists. So we're just, but they keep on doing these push stories and all this kind of stuff. The office of House Majority Leader Hakeem Jeffries denounced of course, it has to happen on Thanksgiving Day. Like we have time to send you bomb threats, or like we even care, because we're too busy watching the Bears blow another game. right? Denounced Thanksgiving Day threats. And by the way, that was, I don't know whether you guys are football fans, but if you look at that Bears game, and I'm not even a Bears fan, but I'm a fan of excellence and of competence, and they blew that game in a monumental way. I can't believe, if you're a Bears fan, I'm sorry, because that clock maintenance was the worst I've ever seen in my life. And I love the Bears because I've always wanted to go to a game at Soldier Field. Never been there before. I love it. I love Chicago, but that was bad. But nonetheless, so these guys are like, Thanksgiving Day. Of course it's going to happen on Thanksgiving Day when we're not busy, right? So the MAGA people are like busy on Thanksgiving Day, sending bomb threats to people that we defeated and humiliated. I get it. Is that your quotient here? Is that your adding your common core math here? That I know we just won an election by a plurality of votes, highest votes you ever seen with the popular vote, defeated you in electoral college, and now we're going to send you bomb threats. It's like, we don't need to do that. I would never do that anyway. I'm just saying we don't need to. The office of House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries denounced Thanksgiving Day threats made against Democrat members on Thanksgiving of all times. This is the day of Thanksgiving, and you're sending us bomb threats. How dare you do that? Each of the threats was signed with MAGA at the conclusion of the message, he said, as the perpetual victim who's inventing himself as a victim. It is nothing short of nuts, but that's the new thing right now with these people being suddenly they're the victims after they tried to victimize us and we beat the pants off of them. In the end, it's crazy. And yeah, that's what they're all about. The New York Times deciding they're going to define women, and it's getting a lot of backlash. It's crazy. But they've defined women in a way that you won't even believe coming up here on the Jesse Kelly Show on this Black Friday. Jamie Allman here with you.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here, really happy to be with you. And thank you, Jesse and Corey and Chris and all that for not only the great bumper music, but a great show that I listen to regularly, and I love Jesse. So here's the thing. I want to let you know that Make America Great Again is not only sweeping the nation, it's also sweeping the world. So if you were to look at what's happening in Italy with Meloni, in Argentina with a leader there, in Hungary with Orban, Romania now is catching the drift. And it's only a matter of time before we see more of that happening. Right now we have, of course, the outliers in Canada and all the other, maybe even France for that matter, but it's sweeping the nation. And I will tell you, South America is really becoming more focused on protecting itself. And even though Venezuela is basically a garbage place, sorry, Venezuelans, but I'm just saying that's what it is. So we have this latest story that the Colombian Navy has seized 1,400 tons of cocaine, meth, and other drugs in this seizure in Colombia. Now, I had the pleasure of being in Colombia last May. My niece, I love her, Ryan, is married to a Colombian citizen. So we went down there for her wedding, and we stayed centrally in Bogota, and then took a bus up to this resort that was like 2 hours away. And you couldn't, 10 years ago even, take that bus up to this resort because you'd have the FARC guys and terrorists, all that kind of stuff, drug cartels. And Colombia, with the help of the U.S., went in and cleaned the place out. They basically just, like, just exonerated Colombia and gave these drug dealers either death or a way out. And one of the things I learned about Colombia, and again, this is where I think President Trump is going to be so great in international affairs, because he's always like this, is that South America is starting to come around. So, like, for instance, in El Salvador now, you have people going down there, and they're going down there as a destination place to go surfing. That's what's happening in El Salvador right now. You remember back in the day, if you're as old as I am, I'm 61, but, you know, nonetheless, I remember back in the day when basically Central America, South America were basically uninhabitable, dangerous places, whatever. Colombia is a fantastic place, and I hope that ultimately when Trump takes office and we start to build on our relationships around the world, that South America is one of those places. Argentina is like a pivotal place for common sense, and they're getting that, and Colombia is not far behind. And I kind of did a little research on Colombia when I was going down. I wonder if, like, what their deal was. Like, what did they do? Like, what about the Colombian army, that kind of thing? Well, it turns out that I looked at the Colombian battalion, which served in the Korean War. And if you look up the Battle of Old Baldy, and this terrain that the Colombian army was basically, they were pushed under the bus by American leaders because they didn't trust them. And they wound up being a pivotal part of the Korean War. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's kind of a lost war. We don't really talk about too much about Colombians and their role in the Korean War. It's the forgotten war, unfortunately. But the Colombians were like, they were the only South American country to join us in our fight in the Korean War. And there were some real heroes there. There aren't many monuments down in Colombia to them, but they were there. It just goes to show you the sea change, I think, is happening around the world. I think the world is picking up on it. I think that we're seeing a lot of European countries. You notice NATO is like, hey, I think it's about time. Maybe we prepare for World War III. It's like, yeah, it's about time. Trump told you that, you know, 5 years ago, that you need to, like, start looking at your own self-preservation. You need to, like, start spending more money on your own defense. And now Germany and France are like, I don't know. We probably should prepare. I don't think World War III is going to happen. I think this whole thing with the Ukraine-Russia thing is not going to result in a World War III. I think we're in that mode now where we don't really have to worry about that. That's never going to happen. And especially with Trump as the titular world leader, I'm not really a big fan of saying that we have to be the standard bearers of the world, because we have many people buried over in overseas graveyards. And I think we're done with that. We don't need any more of that. We're not subjecting our young people to fighting because we're the old Bush Republican view that, you know, we have to be the leaders of the world. It's like, well, I know, but you're going to kill our American women in the military and to do that? No, I'm not a big fan of that. So I'm just telling you that as a measure of this latest breaking news, about 1,400 pounds of cocaine and drugs seized by the Colombian Navy. That's not a little story. It's a bigger story. It's about countries that are starting to take the message from Donald Trump about making their own countries great again. Nationalism is alive and well and should be. I look at France. I never believe that after the fire at the Notre Dame Church. Remember that? Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago? I can't remember that when that happened. But I do know now it's reopened as a Catholic church. I thought for sure they were going to turn it into some, like, you know, stargazing church or whatever it happens to be. And they didn't do it. Notre Dame has opened up again as a Catholic church, as the Notre Dame that it was. I never thought that was going to happen. So cynical me, but I'm so glad that that's happening. All right, on to the New York Times and the erasure of women, which is really pretty crazy. So they now refer to women as non-transgendered women. That I am kidding you not. I'm reading from an article here from the New York Times that talked about women in sports, and they said the NCAA says trans volleyball players are eligible to play if their testosterone level is less than 10 nanomoles per liter. I can't do math, but that's at least four times more than what many experts say is the top of the range for non-transgender women. So that's the New York Times version of what a woman is. So they've decided that to call basically you women out there and categorize you as non-transgendered women. We've heard birthing parent. We've heard uterus haver, menstruator, vaginal presenting. That's what some people on Twitter are joking about. But that's where the New York Times write is now defining that. If you have daughters, you have to be concerned about this. If you're a woman and you're concerned about women's rights, you have to understand that this is exactly what the new media is trying to do. But they can't do it because we're in a new age. We're in the golden age, the age of enlightenment now in America, thanks to Donald J. Trump. And eventually, these people are going to go by the wayside. Plus, Scott Jennings is on the L.A. editorial board, so we're all good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Jamie Allman. Glad to be filling in.
What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman, really happy to have been with you for these past 3 hours. Love you guys, and thank you so much for accommodating me. And I did watch a little bit of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I always love the people who watch the parade. And, you know, you got to learn a little bit eventually because people are going, they're not really singing. It's like, we get that. It's like kind of been a thing, whatever. So there were these mass arrests at the Thanksgiving Day parade. So these anti-Israel Hamas protesters tried to block the McDonald's balloon. I guess that was their thing. Like, we're gonna block the Ronald McDonald balloon. And then there's this great picture that's on the interwebs if you want to look for it. Where they there's a picture of a guy wearing a mask, and he's wearing actually the mask that all COVID dummies wear. It's like that blue paper mask that didn't help you anyway. It's just designed to hide your face or whatever it happens to be, and a hoodie, of course. And so there's this great picture making its way around the internet, if you could find it, of this guy being arrested as the balloon of Ronald McDonald is like staring right down at him. It's like the perfect, it's the perfect play for our time right now, and that these guys cannot win for losing, and that's a good thing. Speaking of cannot win for losing, so Joy Reid, and you know, you don't come here for Joy Reid stuff any more than you do for the View stuff, but I will have to tell you though, it's kind of fun to watch these individuals freaking out because they've lost, and MSNBC might actually be purchased by Elon Musk, which would be like the greatest thing that ever happened. And he's got money. It's like George Soros has money.
Elon Musk, as I said, is like the good witch. And, of course, George Soros is the bad witch. So this is Joy Reid, and she's talking about how, well, I don't want to be with people on Thanksgiving. Like, it's completely, like, they don't understand what Thanksgiving is. And Thanksgiving would not be a time for politics. I know many people had their run-ins with people who were on the left or their family members, and I happen to be a lone conservative in my family. Like, my mom is 96 years old. I love her so much. She and I are very close, and our favorite time is to drink some vodka and read scripture together. That's what we do, and we talk about family, but my mom hates Donald Trump. So, and I think one time I told her, I said, I think you don't like him because he reminds you of my father, and they're divorced and all that kind of stuff. And my dad was like the swinging 60s type of dude, you know. And so I think Trump reminds her of him to a certain degree. I think it's personal. But nonetheless, I love her. You know, I watch the PBS NewsHour with her and keep my mouth shut. I mean, I'm like, I'm that loving in a family situation. I can't imagine, even if Trump lost, I can't imagine deciding that I didn't want to be with my family or anybody associated with that because of politics. If you can imagine a more antithetical view of Thanksgiving than just simply deciding you're not going to be with somebody because they voted differently than you or what have you, I can't imagine anything more of a betrayal of the Thanksgiving message and how we feel about Thanksgiving and what we give thanks to, and we give thanks to God and for our family, regardless of whether or not somebody disagrees with us or whatever. But the people on the left, I mean, they were all over the joint on TV trying to say, well, you don't have to spend time with your family. If they don't agree with you politically, then don't
these be with are the them. People who say the undocumented, who they get to call illegal immigrants, like the Pilgrims had permission to come here, have to suffer the consequences of their actions, right? They made the choice to overstay their visas or come into our country illegally. So if they get deported, consequences.
Yeah, it's interesting. I tried to explain this to a couple of people who, of course, brought this up because sometimes liberalism and wokeness and leftism is an incurable disease, and they have to bring that up even as you are doing Thanksgiving. And I could explain the Pilgrims thing to them very easily. And it is, they came here to escape religious persecution. And that's not even remotely in line with why illegal aliens are coming here. They're coming here because construction companies and agricultural and all these other places are hiring them illegally. And it is an absolute invasion. It's not anything like the Pilgrims. It's kind of like when people say, well, we're a nation of immigrants. It's like, yeah, we're a nation of legal immigrants. If you look at the people who came over here from Ellis Island, on my dad's side, my family came from New Orleans, through New Orleans, because there was a port there too. And it's like, there's nothing in common. But, oh, and she shaved her head. But she doesn't wear her wig anymore. You know,
you right-wingers shouldn't have to suffer the consequences of your votes. You don't want to be around me because I voted for fascism. No fair. I'm coughing on you with COVID, but you want me to wear a mask for your safety? No fair. My body, my choice.
Yeah. And she's wearing a hoodie, too. And I mean, she's just gone for broke. You know, I like her blue eyeshadow, though. I always love that. And her hoop earrings, which is good.
Well, here's an alternative thought. Make your own dinner, MAGA. Make your own sandwiches. Wipe your own tears. Troll amongst yourselves.
We don't have tears. And yeah, we did make our own Thanksgiving. And it's been a blessed one on a number of reasons. But more importantly, because this is a great country. And we love our family. And we love each other beyond politics. It's been a real pleasure to be with all of you. Thank you, Jesse Kelly. Thank you, Corey, for your help today, and Chris Little, of course, as well. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you around the corner.
Have a great weekend, everybody, and a blessed one, too.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.